life's been so sweet to me.
Welcome to On Mindfulness. On Mindfulness is a show offered by the Shasta Resilience Project here on KKRN Community Supported Radio. Today, I have the pleasure of speaking with Pia Victoria Thiemann. And Pia, you're in Berlin?
Yes, Berlin, Germany.
Okay, perfect. And we're going to talk about breath work. But when I got connected to Pia, she does a range of things. And before we started recording, was talking about her collaborations with others. And so we're going to address all of that. And as a reminder, On Mindfulness is really for you, the listener, to be exposed to a range of modalities and practitioners and to be able to find what resonates with you to introduce more mindfulness in your life. So Pia, welcome. It's wonderful to see you.
Thank you so much for the invitation, Sharon. I'm so grateful that through connection, community, you know, collaboration, Natalia connected me to you and your beautiful show. And I loved listening to so many episodes and I'm very grateful to be your guest today.
And we usually begin asking our conversation partners to introduce themselves in whatever way is important to ground the conversations. We are so much, right? Mm-hmm. So I'll hand it to you to share that with listeners.
Thank you, Sharon. What a great opportunity to also check back in with myself and introducing it the way I feel it right now. So my name is Pia, and I'm here on this world to open hearts, to serve, to support others, to live fully, to show all of their parts, to live with an open heart. And I do this through movement from the inside and from the outside.
It's a beautiful introduction. It feels too, I've spoken to people about their like personal mission statements, and it sounds very much like this is who I am at core, what I do. I love that.
Thank you so much. And like you said, there is such a variety. And when I talk to people about what I do or what I've done and where I've been, I don't know about you, but for me, it feels like actually like five lifetimes and like I have to be at least 150 years old. I mean, I had people tell me that. They were like, how are you like 37 years old? And you like, whatever you say, it's just... And then I'm like, yeah, well, I guess I'm living fully and I'm just really very present and I enjoy what I do. And this has always been my compass. When people ask me like, how did you get there? Like traveling internationally and teaching all these classes and seminars and trainings and have your podcast and your book and whatever. And I'm like, yeah, well, this is actually just a natural, you know, flow of things because I always just did things that I got really interested in, curious, and that brought me joy. So this has always been my compass. And from this opportunity has always arisen.
You know, we got connected to talk about breath work, but there's so many, when I was looking at your website, so many different things you do. And we're going to talk about those in a second. Are there other things that you have done that you aren't currently offering now, but have led you to this point?
That I'm not currently offering. That is interesting because I feel like everything that I'm doing, I've started at some point and I still do them. So let me think. Well, it all started, or my journey in movement really started. Well, that was a good question. So maybe it's all started with a dream, really. It all started with a dream. And my dream and my wish, what I've seen for myself, really. And I always wanted to become an actress and a singer, an artist. And So this was my first idea, because I wanted to travel. I wanted to see the world. And I knew that when I was 16. When I was 16, I remember this really vividly. I had my ID, which we get when we're 16 in Germany, and it's valid for 5 years. And then I looked at it and I was like, oh my God, when this is like, when it expires, I will be 21 years old.
So old.
So old, right? And then I remember this. It's so interesting, because, you know, sometimes we have these memories and they're so clear, but they've been over 20 years ago. So I remember myself sitting in my room, looking at my there was music playing at my music station. And I had like, it was, I can't say it's a vision, but it was like, it was a knowing, it was an inner knowing that I'm going to travel, that I'm going to entertain people, that I'm going to be on stages. This is something that I felt that I would be very happy and like successful, whatever that means to you, in what I'm doing, very fulfilled. And I knew that by 16. And so about the career in singing and acting, I tried out at one of the best schools here in Berlin, but I failed, and that was okay. My father passed like 1 week before I had the audition. Uh-huh. And I even thought about, should I go? Should I not go? My father wasn't really supportive of me becoming an artist, because he was like, you need to do something, you know, like stable and yes, a good job that earns you good money. And I'm like, no, I don't. I'd rather go for something that I truly enjoy. But he died with a thought, and he put it in his calendar that I had my audition. So he knew this was the path I would go. And we have a great connection right now. So I also have like a good connection to the spirit realm, and we're good. We're really in a good place, better than even before. So yeah, that did, but it didn't happen, right? So my wish, the way I saw it, didn't happen. So after that, I was lost for a long time, right? I was like in between worlds and spaces, and grief, you know, grief, it never really stops. It just changes, right? And then I worked in a psychiatric ward to support the staff there. And I was working out 5 days a week in a gym close by. And then the owner of the gym, he saw me and he was like, you're here like nearly every day. You should work here. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. And then the next weeks I thought about it. I was like, I don't know. Maybe I can do that and I can save some money. And then I can go, you know, also have a different work experience. So I did that. And what I found out is when I started there, it was a huge, huge gym. It was like 2,000, 3,000 square meters. But it felt like every time I started my shift, it was my house. And people were visiting me and people were coming. And it was like, I'm hosting this gym party and you're all coming. And I'm, you know, I knew all the people. I knew their names. I knew when they would come train. I knew what they would train. It was just so nice. So I really felt like I have my stage here. I do have my stage here, but I don't have to pretend, you know. I just love to give people a good feeling and to not, yeah, well, entertain and support them in their journey. So this is actually where it started.
Yeah, that's super interesting. It reminds me too of the work of Danielle Laporte on desire mapping, which is funny because I'm a program evaluator by, you know, that's what I have my doctorate in. And so looking at very specific outcomes, although there's lots of ways, you know, to do that. And, you know, what Danielle Laporte talks about is that make your desire real. What's the core experience or feeling? And so much of what you're doing really resonates with that stage presence and providing experiences for people, and that energy that you bring, you know, just it's a different form.
Exactly. And I had another like a key like memory and moment that I shared with my mom. So if I may share, after starting there, I also thought about, man, I did my, you know, I did my high school diploma. I wanted to go to university. I wanted to study. I was like, what am I doing with this now that I'm not becoming an actress? I was interested in psychology. I was interested in events, event management, in cultural communication, in, you know, so many things. And then I went to Berlin. I moved to Berlin. This is where my father last lived. And I did a dual study. So I started studying and working full time. And it was called fitness economy. So it was both fitness health and business administration marketing specifically for the health industry. Because I thought, I think, or I felt back then, health will be something that is really important. And I'm good at it. And it feels like this is, it just felt good. So I went there and, you know, then I started teaching group fitness. I fell in love with it. You know, again, another stage, music has always been important to me, you know, singing, dancing, everything. And then I taught Zumba, and at an event in Berlin, somebody scouted me for another event and they were like, oh my God, you have to come to this camp that we're organizing. And I'm like, yeah, sure. And I brought all of my participants. We made like a little, you know, let's all go, like a school, like a field trip. So we went there with 30, 40 beautiful ladies. I had the best weekend. Like years after that, I was the coordinator for fitness at a hotel chain in Spain. So I moved from Berlin to Spain. And I would still go to that camp. And at some point, I became best friends with a lovely Nana, who was organizing the camp with her mom together. And at one point she was pregnant and she couldn't do the management. So I jumped in and I supported. And I did what I do. I just made sure everybody felt safe, supported, nourished. I went to every station, to the bar, to the ticket station, to everywhere. I looked for people to, are they taking care of themselves? Do you need water? Do you need, you know, just taking care of everyone? And then my mom, after I had, and I taught, of course, I taught my classes. And then at some point, my mom was there too, and she was participating, and she enjoyed always. And then she said to me, do you know what, Pia? You always say you only do what you love. And it's actually really true. And now that I see you here on stage, behind stage, doing all the things you do, this is actually everything you ever wanted, but it's not the classic way of doing it. It's not studying event management. It is not studying or going to school for whatever. No, you're just doing the thing. You are on stage. You're doing your performance stuff. You're organizing. You're managing. You're dancing, you know, it's everything combined that you ever wanted to learn. Now you're doing the workshops, you're doing whatever, you're doing your psychological counseling. So everything, but it has never been the way that maybe we feel we need to go to get where we want, if that makes sense. It does. There's, right, the society thinking and the pressure that maybe we feel from outside to do things a certain way. But if we always do what has always been done, it's never our own path, right?
Mm-hmm. The other thing that really strikes me when you're talking is that, you know, and so much of what you do is mindfulness. And people often think, well, if I'm going to be mindful, I have to have these contemplative, quiet, just cognitive thinking, you know, things. And there's so many forms of mindfulness, and that you're getting to that awareness of what you want came through a lot of yeses, a lot of like physical experiences, right? It wasn't so much zenning out and, you know, and like, oh, I think I need to be a fitness coach. It was an awareness, and I'm sure a quiet, an openness that you brought, but doing.
Exactly. Thank you so much for saying that, Sharon. 100% agreed. It's exactly that. It's doing. I've never been an overthinker, gladly. You know, I know that there's a lot of my clients, a lot of people I work with are like, every time I ask in my breathwork sessions, any overthinkers here? And then like many people raise their hands. I say, thank you. And then I also say, when you're an overthinker, you're probably under feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And I have always been a feeler first.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, you mentioned, you know, fitness coaching, and I think people often think about that as maybe personal trainer, and you're on your website, you have these super energetic parties.
Yes. Like.
And so I was wondering if you could explain to people that what that experience is like, how it helps you get into your body.
Yes.
Why people might want to try something like that out.
Mm. Yes, thank you so much for asking, Sharon. This is what I'm really passionate about. And you can see it, like you said, right in the videos. It's called, what I do is called Pound the Rock Out Workout. So it's a full body concert experience. And what it does, it really, really helps you to release that inner rock star, what we call it. And you can say your inner rock star, but you can also say authenticity, presence, energy. We have so much imbalance between the input and the output in our lives. Usually we're taking a lot more in than we need because we're getting a lot less out than we need. So be it food, be it drinks, be it Netflix, sorry, be it whatever, yeah? So consuming, but not expressing enough. So that's a very, you can really check if you're feeling exhausted, whatever, like imbalanced in any way. Just look at your intake and your output of mm-hmm. things. And Pound really helps you to get things out of your body, out of your system. So it is rhythm-driven. It is a drum-inspired workout. You have something in your hands, and it overall, it is fun. So the reason why people come again and again, yet it's also a cool workout. It is for anybody and everybody. There are different layers, so I can adjust it and I give options for everybody. And it's just such a joyful experience. Sometimes I have people, you know, cry after class because they were able to release, to let go. They had such a stressful day. They come up to me and they say, Pia, that was the worst day ever. But coming here, I feel so light now and so powerful, so empowered. So this is also so important, right? To remember our strength. And we are so much stronger than we think. And usually music and fun are things that we forget. We forget to have fun. It's all very serious, you know? I'm also a Pilates teacher, and a lot of Pilates teachers, it's cute. You know, I love that it has a renaissance right now, but I've been doing it for like 15, 16 years now. And there's so much seriousness, you know? I always try to make people laugh because then you know how it is. Humor is so healing, and fun mm-hmm. is a place where you can just let go. There's no perfection. There are drum solos, which we call them. Yeah. So if you mess it up, there's nothing wrong with it. We're just doing drum solos, and every great drummer does drum solos, right? Mm-hmm. Who are we to tell you what is right and what is wrong? So it's super fun.
Yeah. And freeing. Yeah. If you're just joining us, you're listening to On Mindfulness on KKRN, and I'm speaking with Pia Victoria Thiemann. So, you know, the other aspect that you offer, which I imagine is also in different modalities, is you describe as a healing space facilitator. And I love that. I love that descriptor. And I'm wondering what you mean by that, like how you describe what that means to people.
Thank you so much for both mentioning it and asking this question. The most important thing for me is to provide a safe space for people to heal. And this looks so very different. And it really depends on what people need. And this is a question I also love to ask my participants, my students, my clients, when they're in a space of calm. Because, of course, when they're like, you know, all excited and, you know, a lot of happening and blah, blah, blah. But when I usually start all my sessions with, A nice deep breath and a sigh and exhale, really arriving. And after some moments or minutes, just asking the question. And when it gets calm and people get calm, it is, of course, you know, way easier to enter the realm. And then also to remind ourselves, what is it that I need right now? I provide this space, be it maybe a massage, and I'm just, you know, opening the door for you. And I ask you, do you want something to drink? You know, a hot drink is always something that's comforting. And then we sit down, and usually just coming into my space, wherever it is something that is, I hope, feels like a hug.
Mm-hmm.
And there are, like you said, different modalities and different things I offer. But the first thing that comes to mind is really like just creating a space, allowing people, helping people to allow themselves to be seen and heard and understood fully without the need to perform. So people allow themselves to be themselves around me. This is something that I found out pretty early on, and I'm really grateful for that.
That is beautiful. It's kind of that combination of the art of gathering and hosting.
Yes.
As well as allowing people to be really seen and heard. Many people do need that encouragement to say what they need or to discover what they need.
Exactly. Sometimes it is even, like you said, sometimes they're able to vocalize it. Sometimes they don't even know. So they go start explore. And what you also said is something super important. I just moved into my own space. It's called the Heart Space Berlin, Herzraum Berlin.
That's amazing.
So, and this has been a dream and a vision that has come to life. It's like an hilarious story. We probably don't have time to dive totally in, but it's so fun. Life, universe provides. So I'm here now. I have one room. It's really cute. These are three rooms right by each side. The first one is for massages. The second one is for gathering. This is a space of sitting together, community, before, after a session, sitting there, 2, 3, 4, 5 people. And the other one is the movement space where we do movement. But what is movement? Movement, relaxation, movement of the mind, the heart, the soul. Yin yoga is something I really love and also love to provide. So these three actually bring everything together that I understand as a healing space. You know, there's one where you receive. There's one where you come together in community, where you share. And then there's one where you move, right? And this together is just, for me, the perfect, beautiful combination.
Yeah, that's really a reflection of, you know, when we talk with people who are struggling with difficult emotions, or that awareness that's necessary before you begin to move through it, accepting that it is, and then doing something to move through, not necessarily let go or leave behind, right? Sometimes, but sometimes you just need to navigate.
Yeah.
What is.
Thank you. And this letting go, you know, I love that there's this new, I feel like, wave of practitioners and opportunities to heal, and that it gets common, and that people start to talk openly about coaching and psychological counseling and mental health and taking care of themselves. I love all of this. Also, there are a lot of things thrown into people's minds, like trigger or trauma, or, you know, all these words where I'm like, you know, it doesn't have to be all of this, and it doesn't have to be, you know, it doesn't have to be, you need to let go of everything, you know, so many sentences that are like, let go of this, let go of that. I'm like, no, actually, you don't even have to do that. You can also just take your hand and the fist and the thing that you're holding on so tightly, and maybe see if it's possible to just loosen the grip a little bit and have a closer look. And if it's scary, close your hand again. No worries. I'm not taking it away from you. I'm not doing that. Yeah. And at some point, maybe you feel so soft and so safe that you open your hand a little bit more. and you exhale and you relax your hand just for a moment. You close it a little softer. And the next time you come, maybe you can put it on the shelf just for a moment. Take it back into your hand, take it home safely. You know that at some point, maybe you can put it on the shelf, leave it there, and then you know it has its space. It doesn't have to go.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it's safe there.
Yeah. So I wanna make sure there's so many things we could talk about. I want to make sure we talk about breath work, because that's something, you know, locally here, I'm not sure how many practitioners we have of breath work. And it's something I've experienced in a short period. And my daughter's very connected to breath work. So I wanted to ask you how you describe that to someone who doesn't know what it is, and sort of what are the range of breath work experiences that one might find out there in the world?
Thank you. This is such a great topic. And I love also, same with breathwork as with many other things, that this is having a little renaissance right now, right? Breath is the first thing we have when we enter this world. It's the last thing that leaves. It's available for everyone, which is why it's such a great healing tool, because you have it everywhere you go. It is free for everyone. And breathwork literally means you're using your breath. You work with your breath. So it's everything that is not your natural breath, right? So as soon as we start to change, consciously change the way we breathe, this is breathwork. And there are a million modalities. So how to find the right one, or maybe how, like, what is it out there and why should people do it? You can do it for everything. Right? You can do it to calm down. You can do it to activate. And, you know, Sandra had this great episode where she also talked a lot about it. What I found, and the practice that I'm teaching and that I found for myself being amazing, is called psychedelic breath. And psychedelic, the word itself, comes from the ancient Greek, and it means, translated, to reveal your soul. So breathing with this technique that combines rhythmic breathing with non-breathing, so we are holding our breath out empty, or we are holding our breath full, with a mix of rhythmic breathing to an electronic music soundtrack. So there's the element and the component of music, why it's so great for people who are a lot in their minds, because music, of course, helps to get into the body. You know, the rhythm, it's more embodied than when there's just silence or just hearing other people breathe, right? So there's this great state that we're able to get into, because we're breathing ourselves like into a heightened state of consciousness, right? This is what we're doing with this practice that I'm practicing. So it helps you to get into a non-ordinary state of consciousness. Non-ordinary meaning you are widening, you are creating more space without needing to be in your prefrontal cortex all the time. So we're getting out of the thinking mind into the limbic system, where emotions are stored, where everything, every memory is, where we have access to the subconscious. And it's a very loving practice. It's not a pushing practice. This is also why Sandra and I love to work with each other and co-create, because we're both very loving creatures that really hold spaces for people to explore what breath means to them. What do I need right now? So there, we would start with a slow rhythm, and then maybe I will invite you to go faster, to try find your own rhythm, maybe be inspired to, you know, go a little faster and see what happens if you're mm-hmm. curious. And if you don't like that, you can always come back to a slower rhythm. So it's also about, number one, getting out of your thinking mind. So a lot of people have the great benefits of being present in the moment. And when do we really practice present moment awareness? In everyday life, a lot of people are not even able to walk with awareness, right? To feel how their feet are kissing the ground, to see the beautiful flower. I am stopping by flowers every day because I'm just like, oh, look at you. This is just like my state of being, but a lot of people are like so focused all the time that there's no more space and everything is tight. So what we're doing is we're softening, we're widening. And then when there is a little more relaxedness, a little bit more softness, things that are stuck energetically, emotionally, are able to flow, are able to show themselves, because usually we are like keeping the gates closed because we need to stay focused. We think this is the only way. There's no other way. So you become the observer in this process. And at some point, maybe you even leave the body and your awareness is somewhere in space and you see colors or you have visions or you have answers, you have clarity. So for me personally, it is how to explore your purpose even through breath. So this, for me, it has always been a very creative thing. So every time I do a session, I had like incredible sessions that were just very peaceful in the end. And then I had sessions that were very, where I felt I couldn't even breathe. At some point, I felt somebody was pushing like against my chest. And then I had like this moment of absolute clarity where I knew I had to quit a job. And I would write the email right after the session. You know, so there have been really, I had a revelation about a pattern that runs through the females in my family in a breathwork session. Right, I broke up with my boyfriend and the same evening I was like, oh, I could do a breathwork session. And then I'm like, I don't know. And usually when I have kind of resistance for something, I know that I should do it. I don't know about you. You had that before? So I was like, okay, if there's resistance, maybe I should do it. So I did it. And I sat at home. I did it online with my teacher. And everything started vibrating the moment I closed my eyes. My whole body was like electricity. And I was breathing. And at some point in the stillness of the exhale, in the emptiness, it was like, it felt like a millisecond, but I saw everything, all the lines of women that came before me and the pattern that we carry that is, I am an independent woman and I do not need a man or a partner to get things done. I am, you know, freedom and relationships do not go together. And this was something that came through and I saw my great grandmother. Her husband going into the war, she was pregnant with a third child, two little childs, and also running a business. They had a little store back then. Then he came back after 5 years. She thought he was dead. He was totally traumatized. She did all the things, you know. My grandma, the daughter, she was always very like doing her thing. Her husband died when my mom, her father, was 16. So my mom was 16 and my grandmother, she was a very, what would you say? Like always making sure she looked perfect. She looked, I took very much, you know, and she never got back into a relationship and she was low, you know, my way or highway. That was my grandmother. Yeah. And my mom, three kids, divorce, also, you know, always doing things, you know, just providing, working, and also instilling that sense in me that it's important to put your money into your head, you know, just like you need to invest in yourself, which is true. And I'm grateful for that lesson. But also, there is a part in my DNA, you know, that is like, I would rather do things for myself. And like, you know, if I do it myself, I know it's good. And I don't want to be relying on anyone or anything. And I discovered that like in one session. So you see, there's a lot of potential. That doesn't mean, I always tell people, it doesn't mean you get into this natural high, into this natural right. heightened state right. all the time. Not every session is the same. Every session is a different session. Like you are a different person every day. Our cells mm-hmm. change. We change every day, right? So you can, I always tell people, the less you expect, the more open you stay, and you will have expectations. And at some point you will hear your thoughts in these sessions. They will be like, oh my God, what is happening? Am I doing it right? Blah, blah. Yeah. Yeah. But the thing is to practice, like you said in the beginning, doing. Yoda from Star Wars always said, do or don't, there is no try.
Right, right.
You just do it, and doing, even trying is doing, right? You just do it and you fail forward, and fail is just an experience that has a stamp on it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you've said so much. And I think one of the invitations to people who listen to different, you know, or think about different modalities, sometimes there's that fear, like, oh, these big things are going to happen and I'm not ready for big things, so I don't want to try it. But part of what I hear underneath what you're saying is that a lot of it depends on what you're bringing to the practice. So you could try, like your closed fist analogy, you know, you could try a little, see what it gives you. You could go as far as you want to go. There are, you know, great possibilities there, but you could also explore and see what's possible for you right now.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you, Sharon. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Like I said, I always say to my students and to everyone who comes work with me, if you found your way to practice with me, there is a reason for it. I don't know it. You might not know it. But I want you to know that the time we share together will be to the highest good of yourself and all there is. And this is the baseline. Every practice I teach, every workshop I give, every session I hold, always. I don't do it under this. So it has to be the highest good for you and for all there is. I'm not doing it for less, if that makes sense. Yeah. So if you're coming, this is a safe space. And also know that your subconscious will only open up to whatever is possible for you to be seen and felt and heard. So what I'm not doing trauma work in my group sessions. I'm not doing that. My breathwork practice, and there are different practices. Yes, there are trauma release, somatic stuff. I teach a breathwork practice that is about self-discovery. Yeah. So I'm very gently learning more about myself, my patterns, my breath, my body, my tension, my softness, my energy, my frequency, what I would love to know, what I would love to explore, you know? So it's very flowy.
Mm-hmm. And so when you're doing it, if someone comes, it is a breathwork session. That's the focus, the invitation. And what might that look like for someone who walks into one? You know, how long are those sessions if you're doing it in a group?
Yeah. Thank you. So when I do it live here in Berlin, in Germany, if you should ever come over, it's a beautiful studio called Ohia in the center of Berlin. And it's a yoga, meditation and healing space. This is where I am once a week. And this is 75 minutes. This is the shortest experience. I usually teach 90-minute classes. And we will always start first with me introducing myself and the topic for the class, if there was an inspiration for me to share. I always start with a little, maybe there was a quote that I saw or something that touched me deeply, something that, you know, an inner knowing that I was like, oh my God, this is important now. I always teach from my own experience. You know, I feel like this is the authentic way to teach for me. You know, if there was something present, I say it. If there's nothing, I invite people to just feel into what is present within them right now. And we do a little warm-up breathing, what we call it in this practice, which is a calming breath. It's a mix of belly breathing, box breathing, and Viloma breath. So three-part breath to create space and calm. And then I evoke some questions. And I, while people are with closed eyes, seated, breathing calmly, you know, I throw some things in there. What is alive within you right now? What can you sense? Is there any quality, any feeling, any thought? Without judging, can you just observe? And underneath all of that, is there a question that you have, something that you would like to explore, that you're curious about? And then I say, you know, knowing that it is for your highest good and for all there is, know that this is a safe space to explore this practice. And then I get people back and I tell them about the practice, the technical stuff, and also, like Sandra does, you know, about the contraindications, because of course there are some where I would not recommend certain practices, just to make sure everybody feels safe. And yeah.
Yeah.
And we dive into.
And when you were describing psychedelic breathing, it sounds like in a session, there can be faster and slower, and people need to tune into what they need at the moment. So I'm using a word that you kind of wave through it, right? You flow through different.
Yes, exactly. You breathe in cycles. So each track is called a cycle, and it has a different length. It has a different energy, a different quality, a different topic that I'm speaking to, you know? So maybe we start with the first cycle of arriving, you know, just, you know, breathing, feeling, I am here. What does my body feel like? Do I have any thoughts? Second cycle, we get more into the physical body. Maybe you start to feel physical sensations, which I've explained before might happen, like tingling or, you know, yawning, a little dizziness, or maybe certain numbness in your body, you know, just becoming more aware of the body. And then we get into the ego and the thoughts, you know, sometimes, you know, in the next cycle, you start talking to yourself a lot, you know, like, oh my God, this is fast. Am I doing it right? What is happening? And then at some point we get into your heart space and just connect to what is really truly here right now, what wants to be felt and seen and heard, what has been pushed to the side, where do you feel you need a little bit more love for yourself or for others, you know, and then usually things shift. And we get from this very physical maybe sensation into more the etherical part and spiritual part, where we, you know, sometimes just being very present with our breath. Sometimes people don't even hear what I'm saying anymore. It's just like, and that's fine too, because the subconscious will always hear what it needs to hear. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so at the end, there's always a part which is called resting, because this is super important for me that people get to rest. It is breath work. So we're doing a lot with our bodies. You need to rest. So I invite them to lay down, to receive, to integrate. Because I feel people are so many times rushed in their everyday life, and what we all need more is rest and calm. So after this breath work session that has really been activating, in the middle, I want people to rest and calm again. And also use the space between, you know, the space between the session and the coming back. Which is such a sweet spot. It's also like the moment after you woke up, before you stand up, before you get up, right? Mm-hmm. The speed, sweet spot, the moment when you go to bed, before you fall asleep. And this is also the frequency where we enter theta, the theta brainwave. Mm-hmm. So usually there are a lot of beautiful things happening in this resting phase, even... Mm-hmm. Also interesting, you know, not more interesting things than in the breathwork part itself, but you know what happens when there's space and calm and peace and quiet. And after that, there's always the sharing, which is an essential part of my work, that I give the opportunity for participants, for students, for clients to share their experience or parts of their experience if they wish to do so.
Can you share with listeners the kinds of things that people share at the end of one of those experiences?
Oh, yeah, I can give some anonymous examples if you like.
Yes.
So first of all, it's the first one is always the hardest, right? Because after such a session and true experience, and I'm not talking about thought experience, but really physical experience and beyond the thinking mind. When your awareness is so widened, it is hard to put it into words because words are so limited. Mm-hmm. And when you've experienced this vastness and this limitlessness, it is tough to come back. So sometimes to help people to find words, I ask about the physical sensations first. Did you feel it in your body? Was there tingling? So sometimes people start to talk about their physical sensations, how they felt, that their biochemistry changed, you know, the tingling, the yawning, the dizziness, maybe how they were first a little bit, you know, oh my God, what is happening? And then as they remembered, they could always come back to their breath and into the present moment, and they practice this coming back, right? Which is meditation. We're always coming back to our breath. We're always coming back to the present moment, that at some point they experience this bliss of pure presence, where they are not in their thoughts anymore, where sometimes they... I just try to give you like concrete examples. So sometimes I have people share that they have been through a lot of pain and sadness and they were not able to process it in the last weeks or whatever. But in these sessions, they were able to connect to that feeling, that person, and really let it flow through them. And they feel so much lighter. I have people who connected to their dead grandmother and received some wisdom. I have people who, like me, you know, had this experience of, you know, I understood something that is part of my DNA. Mm-hmm. I made a decision that this and that ends with me. I saw my ancestors behind me. I felt them behind me. These are huge things, but sometimes, you know, or huge things, you know what I mean? Like sometimes people measure the success of a breathwork sessions in the incredible things they saw or felt or whatever. But also some people start crying and don't even know why they were crying, but they just said it felt good.
Mm.
And that they can't remember the last time they cried. Some people, you know, so there's such a variety of experiences, and every time it's different.
Are there short practices that someone who wants to put their toe in the water about what it might be like can practice that we could do right now?
Yeah, absolutely. So what we can do right now, and what really helps you to ground and to become aware and very present, is the first moments and minutes when I start my session. So to become really aware what is present and alive within you right now. And maybe after a busy day, that's a great practice. Maybe to start your day with intention, that is a great practice. And if you like, I would love to guide you through it. Let me invite you to this little breathwork exercise. Find a comfortable seat, maybe move your shoulders a little bit, maybe roll your neck, maybe there's some stretching happening. Take some delicious nice inhales and exhales. And whenever you're ready and it feels safe and possible for you, close your eyes and start with a nice deep inhale into the nose and out to the mouth. Out, 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 and then again deep inhale, nose, expand, in, in. In, fill yourself completely like a balloon, and then exhale out if you like. Purse your lips on a shh sound. Shh. Exhale, exhale, exhale. Get really empty. Everything out. Then again, nose, inhale, expand your belly. 4, 3, 2, 1. Fill yourself all the way and exhale out. Shh. 3, 2, exhale, 1, get empty, really empty, exhale everything out, and one more time, nose, inhale, slowly expand, 4, 3, inhale more, 2, One along your spine and exhale out. Exhale. Soften your body. Exhale. Get empty. 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 Now listen. Inhale slowly along your spine for 4, 3, 2, 1. And now hold your breath. Keep it full. Relax your shoulders if you like. 2 more. 1. And exhale. Shh. Exhale. 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 Get empty. Hold. Empty. Try to relax your belly button and stay empty. 3, 2, 1. And now slowly inhale again for 4 along your spine. In. 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 And hold it. Stay full. 2, 1. Slowly exhale. Exhale, 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 exhale. Get empty and hold empty. Again, relax your belly. If you can, stay here. 2, 1. And slowly continue breathing in your natural breath, in and out, keeping your eyes closed if you like. And while you continue breathing naturally, can you allow yourself to sense, to feel what is present within you right now? Anything physical, an emotion, a thought, maybe. Any sensation. Without judging, just observing. And if you like, you can connect to whatever is present within you right now, and maybe there is a question for you, maybe an intention, how you want to continue your day, start your day, finish your day. What is something that maybe this moment of stillness is inspiring you to be, to do? And very gently allow yourself to let whatever came through for you keep guiding you and maybe flowing with you through your day or night or week, knowing that it is to your highest good and the good of all there is. And whenever you're ready, let your breath deepen a little bit more and arrive back here in this space with 1 or 2 more deep inhales and exhales. Maybe a sigh, maybe some stretching, and whenever you feel, maybe gently blink your eyes open and return.
Thank you so much.
How do you feel right now?
I feel really grounded. I feel very peaceful in such a short period too. That was really nice. I love the invitations at the end as well.
So beautiful. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you for leading us. And if people wanted to find out more about you, because I know you do work online as well, where should they go? We'll put all your information in the show notes as well.
Yes. Yes, so the best way to connect, or the easiest way for everyone who is on social media, is Instagram. And this would be Pia Victoria with the C and the number one. So Pia Victoria One, because we're all one. Pia Victoria One is my Instagram. And if you like, just send me a DM, and that you've listened to this episode. I would also love to give a discount for everyone who's listening to this episode and to your podcast. And if they mention you're on mindfulness, I would love for them to experience a breathwork class online with me in English.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah.
Lovely.
If they just mention that they're coming from you, I would love for them to just join for free so they have an opportunity to try this practice with me.
Thank you so much. That's a wonderful offer. And we'll connect people with all of those things in the show notes, and let people know in our Facebook page that when our interview's coming, when our conversation is coming. So thank you, Pia, and wishing you a beautiful day.
Thank you. The same for you, my dear. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to On Mindfulness on KKRN, Community Supported Radio. Please feel free to check out the show notes and to learn more about Pia and her work. And while you're at kkrn.org, if you feel so moved, please donate to all of the offerings that you can find here. Music is provided by Rachel Beck, Omnificent. You can find her work everywhere good music can be found.